Well, let's begin with a word of prayer together. Our Father, we pray for wisdom to understand the dangers that afflict our soul. And I pray that you would help us to understand the significance of the parable that the Lord Jesus Christ told his people. We pray that you will give to us wisdom to learn lessons from it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12 this morning. And we come across a very special teaching that requires quite a bit of comprehension. And again here, this is under the segment where we talk about the dangers that afflict us, the dangers that afflict the soul. And this is something that we want to consider. Now remember, this is a parable. And being a parable, it has got its challenges. So if you're trying to ask yourself, is there an example? The answer is no. Now, parable being what it is, you have to ask yourself what the point of the parable is, and then to understand its significance. Okay, a parable is just simply an illustration, and we should see it simply as an illustration that we need to take note of. Okay, so it's not a real life situation, but it is a very real thing anyway. Okay, and this involves the matter of the spiritual world, the spirit. Now let's take a look very carefully. In 12:43, first, there is a mention of an unclean spirit. Now, so far in our understanding of the unclean spirits and the nature of the work, in the Gospels, most of the time, the understanding is that the evil spirit will possess a person. Right? That's the first thing. Now, in the possession of the person, the personality, the character, the life of the person dramatically changes for the worse. It can cause illness. It can cause all kinds of bad things to the person. Now that is your usual common understanding of the idea of the unclean spirit. Right? So this is an unusual parable. Because this particular unclean spirit is not spoken of as possessing in that sense. Okay, so this is really, really an unusual parable, but it has got its meaning that we want to take note of. Okay, so this is important. Now, in this particular parable, we read the unclean spirit leaves from the man. Now, the usual word for a spirit to leave a person is usually the word to expel or to cast out. This is not the usual cast out word. This is like this spirit is just walking out. It's a normal word for going out. And Jesus went out to another place, same word. Right? So this is a very, very unusual description. This evil spirit leaves from the man. We're not told why. He's not expelled. He's not cast out. He just decides he will leave the person. And then we read, he goes out through different places, but he's finding a resting place and he does not find anything. That's 43. Now, that we're going to tell a story, then we're going to come back to it and ask ourselves, how do we understand this carefully? Okay, and then he says to himself, you know, I will return to the house from which I came out. Now that is another twist of the thing. And then he came to the house. And he found that the house was has been swept clean and everything has been made in order. So the house of the person looks all right. And then he says he goes out and he goes out again. Right? This is a normal going out, coming in stuff. He goes out, he finds seven other people, seven other spirits worse than himself. Okay, they are other spirits. They are more evil than himself. And then they return and they make the residence there in the life of the person. And we read in verse 45, and the last state of that person is worse than the first. Now we're going to go into the story a little bit later on, but this time try to expound it. And then we read the last statement there of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus it will be also for this generation, which is evil. Now that's a pretty scary parable. If I were to read this and understand it carefully, to me, this is worse than a possession situation. Right? If you're looking at a possession person, a person may be inhabited by a legion of demons. At the command of the Lord Jesus, the demons leave and they cannot return. In this case here, the evil spirit leaves and he can come back. And he can make it worse for the person because he is influenced from other evil spirits. Now, I don't know whether that scares you. If I were you, I would be very, very concerned. Okay, because we're not talking about possession in the classical sense of the word. We're not talking about possession as in the person becomes controlled by evil spirits as if that's the only concern. In which case here, the idea of exorcism is the answer. That's it. But what if the problem is not as simple? Okay, so let's take a look a little bit into the book of Ephesians, and we'll see this a little bit. Chapter 2, for example. Okay, well, let's take a look at Ephesians 2 and you'll catch a glimpse of this whole idea here. And this is the work of the evil spirits as well. Okay, now, as we look at the chapter 2, and we're going to take a look at chapter 2 very carefully, and in verse 1 we read, you were dead in trespasses and in sins. Now, that's the opening word of the Apostle Paul. Now, what is most disconcerting is to read the following words, in which you once walked according to the course of this age, according to the age of the world. We translate it as the course of this world. Literally, the different ages of the world. Now, I think we all understand this. There are different ages, and every age there is some new influence or some other thing. Or, you know, this happens all the time. According to the ruler of the authority of the air. That's the idea. According to the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. Now, Paul tells us that there are powerful forces at work. There is a ruler, and this particular evil ruler influences the entire world. Now that is pretty disconcerting. See, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is really speaking about. He's not speaking about possession. He's talking about the kind of influence that evil spirits can make on anyone, everyone in the entire world. Now that is disconcerting. Right? So this is how it works. And the influence is there. How do you see this? When people become spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, when people are constantly in a state of disobedience, now we are looking at something that is really the work of evil spirits. Without the person realizing that there is a spiritual influence. So if you are looking at possession, the idea of possession would make the person, you know, behave differently, think differently, and you know, the typical examples of the idea of possession. That is obvious. To me, this is even more deadly. Because this is not possession. But there is significant influence in the life of the person. So much so that the person is really walking in the way of the world without realizing it, but there are powerful spirits at work in that person. I was listening to a BBC interview a couple of days ago, and they were talking about this idea of Arab Spring and how 5 years ago this Arab Spring hit Syria. The whole idea was have a regime change, have something different, and it's going to all turn up. You know, in 12 different countries, the idea of Arab Spring that came up, in every single country, it is just disobedience, civil disobedience, and now everyone is regretting the decision that was made. What is that power behind it all? How come in one place it starts and then it affects 12 different countries and then the things are worse than they could possibly imagine? And we blame it upon the president of the country. We blame it upon all the forces that are out there fighting. What if we don't look at it closely enough? What if we see powers of evil at work, and there is nothing they can do? And they have been trying to resolve these conflicts. Now let's take a look at this evil influence. Now here is the situation. The evil spirits, for some reason, leaves the home. Now this is the problem with possession. Right? The possession, the person, the spirit has to be kicked out. In this case here, it's not possession. It's a simply deadly influence. And then suddenly the spirit decides, I want to go elsewhere. And you don't know why, but it goes. So the person is now outside of an evil influence. And the evil spirit comes back and he says, look at his life. This one has been swept clean. This one has been ordered. And that's what it is. You know, sometimes we call this moral good. We think that we have moral goodness, that's the answer. If I can just be good enough, I'll just get rid of these things here, and it's gone. Really? And there are many, many, many programs like this. You know, once I asked an alcoholic, he went to Alcoholic Anonymous, and I asked him, I said, you know, you've been on this dry wagon for some time now. So I asked him, how long do you think he could ever go back to it, drinking? He said, yes. So I asked him, how much would it take to go back to drinking problem? And his answer surprised me. He said, all I need is a sip. That's it. All I need is a sip. And for the next several hours, he will be stuck in the bar. blind, drunk. All you need is a seat. See, all these programs try very, very, very hard. And there are many programs out there. Alcoholic Anonymous is actually, if you look at it very carefully, they will begin with, you know how to get out of it? First statement, there are 12 steps. First statement, that I need to recognize there is a power higher than me. You've got to begin with that. Second, I cannot help myself. And they begin to recognize it. But they don't tell you what that power higher than yourself is. And they recognize enough to realize that you cannot battle this on your own. And so a person may look at his life and say, you know, I am morally good. I'm doing well. I think no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. What am I? A monkey. What is that? What is that worth? Not much. All you need is a moment. And when evil one comes back, he comes back with a vengeance. All right? So we are aware, and I think many of us are just not aware of the influences that are in the world. And these are not just influences. There is an organized influence. So with one Arab Spring, one country, and you think that it's only one country, then how come 12 others would follow after that? And everyone, disastrous results. Not a single one has emerged, come out free, come out better. And you ask yourself, what's happening? And the answer has to become very, very, very obvious. This is something that we need to give serious regard, serious thought to. Okay, now we go on further to take a look at what it is. In chapter 2 and verse 3, Paul wrote, in which also we conducted ourselves. Well, there we go. You see, Paul linked himself to that. Was he ever possessed? No, but there he is. He linked himself, and then we became children of wrath as all the rest. Now that is a serious admission on Paul's part. Because he recognized, now, not that he was involved or engaged in anything that is bad in that sense. But if he were to examine himself, why he was so filled with anger, why he was so furious, why he was persecuting the Christians and all that, he recognized that that too was an influence of the evil one. So that's pretty scary as you think about it. Right? So as we take a look at all these things here, we begin to realize that we have to understand that there are powerful, powerful spirits at work, and they are not going to rest easy. And if they find a house, they find a person, and this person looks morally good, this person looks, decent, can those evil spirits come back and affect the person badly? And the answer is yes. And I think this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. Okay? Now let's take a look at chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians now. And this is where Paul explains further. Now this is absolutely important for us to appreciate. Now, verse 17 onwards, Paul writes and he says, now this is important, and I say to you, I testify in the Lord, okay, do not walk as the Gentiles walk. Now, question is, what are you following? Ultimately, we follow somebody or other. Like it or not. We all follow one or the other. And then we read, do not walk in the futility of the mind. Verse 18. Darken in the understanding. Alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. The hardness of the heart. Okay? Now, you take a look at some of these things, you begin to realize that we're not talking about possession in the real sense of the word, but where is the danger here? Well, let's take a look at some of these things here. The futility of the mind. You may have a good, strong mind, but if the end result is that of futility, it comes to nothing. We can end up being trapped in that way. It could be almost anything and everything, and yet the futility of it all can get to us so badly, we end up with nothing. Okay, now this is important. Look at verse 18. Okay, darkness in understanding. Darkened understanding. Now that's kind of hard to understand. But here is a person whose understanding, now we're talking about the mind, we're talking about the understanding. And the understanding of the person is essentially dark. And a person remains in that darkness. Guess where this is coming from? This is the influence of evil spirits. Can't get out of it. We keep on thinking those dark thoughts all the time. Now, to go on further, verse 18, alienated from the life of God. Now, you want to see how it works? This person does not have a spiritual link to God. This person is alienated. Now, again, if we're not talking possession, we're talking about deadly spiritual influence. Now you watch, it's right now happening. It can happen to the heart. It can happen to the mind. It can affect your understanding. It is really an essential reflection of your relationship with God. And if your relationship with God is that of alienation, you are actually alienated from God. What are we talking about? Powerful influences from the evil spirits. You see, we can end up reasoning God out of the picture. And that becomes a very serious problem. Okay? And this is something that we need to look at. And we must be sure that we don't go that way. Okay, and in verse 22, you were taught to put away your former life, old self, corrupt, deluded. Now, we go on into this battle here. This is absolutely important. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, now we have to look at how can we effectively battle the evil spirits at war with us. And in chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, the answer becomes very, very obvious. And it is this that we must look at very, very carefully in chapter 6, the book of Ephesians. Okay? Now, this is important. How can we battle against such forces that we cannot pinpoint? If we are looking at demons and they have personalities, they have certain powers, and they are, you can actually distinguish one from another. In this case here, the unclean spirit. Right? But now we are looking at seven others worse than himself, and they come back in influence. How do we battle them effectively? We might as well talk about this. In fact, we must. You see, the word of warning given by the Lord Jesus Christ was very, very real. In Matthew chapter, we read chapter 12, And he said, so shall it also be with this wicked generation. Now that's serious. In other words, that generation, even though they might be technically possessed by spirits, they are so badly influenced by the world that they were spiritually dead, alienated, hearts dark, mind, understanding all darkened, and absolutely spiritually dead. How do we battle such things? In this case here, Jesus did not even offer an answer to the situation. As far as he was concerned, these were not, they were not regenerated. And they are going to be continued, they're going to continue to be influenced by powerful evil spirits, whether they like it or not. Now, this morning we have to ask ourselves, firstly, are we deeply concerned about our spiritual state? Do we recognize that this can happen to anyone? Do we recognize that we can be under powerful, spiritual, deadly influences? Now, because if we cannot recognize them, we don't want to deal with them. And the answer would be very obvious. There is no way in which we can overcome them. I mean, that is obvious, isn't it? I hope you understand this. So we have to ask ourselves some very basic questions. Is our life alienated from God? We need to reestablish that. Are our understanding, is our understanding darkened? We need to bring light in. Is the heart hardened? It needs to become soft again. So if we don't have any of these things looked into and addressed, then the power of the evil spirits will continue to influence and we will never be able to overcome them. So what is the answer as we look at the danger that must be raised up? There is grave danger to our heart. There is grave danger to our soul. To a person who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are 100% vulnerable. You may be a good person. You may be a morally upright person. You may be a decent person. But you are absolutely powerless against the might of the evil one. You are prey, he is predator, and you are sunk. Now, this is important for us to begin with, and we have to understand what this is all about. You know, today we're going to have a group of people who are going to be baptized, and I think this is something really very joyful. In fact, many of them speak about how they struggled in the past and how they came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that made a difference. It makes a whole lot of difference, but we cannot stop there. Okay, this is important. We cannot stop there, and this is something that we need to look at very carefully. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to see why we cannot stop there. Okay, this is important. In chapter 4, the saints will have to be equipped for ministry. Okay? And in verse 14, we read, we must no longer be children, tossed to and fro. This is a sad reality. And blown about by every wind of doctrine, people's trickery, craftiness in deceitful speaking. And so many people don't realize that there's so much falsehood out there in the world. And as long as they are childish, you know, sometimes people say, you know, when they take pride, oh, I have a simple faith. I know I'm the simple faith type. You are in grave danger. Because a simple faith type will mean that you are exposed to every sort of trickery out there in the world and you cannot tell the difference. You won't be able to tell the difference. And this is something you need to think about very carefully. There are all kinds of subtleties out there in the world. The answer is not a simple faith. The answer is not simplicity. You are in grave danger if you think that that is the answer. Now, this is important for us to understand. We cannot remain children. The word here, children, literally is the word infant. You cannot afford to be at that level. Okay? Because every wind of doctrine and you will be swayed. And that's pretty scary. You know, I study trends in theology. And for some years ago, 30 years ago, the trend was forget about a pulpit. You know, communication is the answer. Couldn't believe it. Then 20 years ago, counseling was the answer. Not preaching, not teaching, counseling was everything. And now, what do we have? Small groups, everything in small groups, you know, that's it. That the focus is small groups. Forget about the church. These trends keep coming. And every so often, they will have one person who becomes an outstanding speaker with great charisma, and they will talk about these things here. Sometimes it's about leadership. And then they have a whole Bible, and a whole study Bible based on the word leadership. And that's it. Now I read them. I read this study Bibles and I look at them and I just shake my head. How do we get out of all these things? The only way out is to grow. The only way out is to become mature. We are taught, and this is important. Verse 15. Speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way. Now, this is important. We are committed to growth. And if we do not grow, if we don't grow up in all these things here, we are not going to be able to escape all these problems. Right? So what the Lord is really saying to the people is those who were trapped in their thinking, those who were fixed in their ideas, those who have not grown in any way for donkey's years, they were in spiritual danger. So you must ask yourself this morning, am I growing? Do I have a life relationship with God? Am I really learning stuff? Or have I stopped learning and growing a long time ago? Because if that happens, then you are in grave danger indeed. There is no substitute for growing. And this is important. And now we go into chapter 6. Okay? And this is the part of it, and this is important, beginning from verse 10. And that is the only way to go. Finally, my brethren, Paul writes, okay? Finally, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his power. There is no substitute for strength. Absolutely none. You know, sometimes I use this markers and both sides are orange. But only one side has the ink. And sometimes I catch myself using this side and I'm wondering, how come there's nothing there? I'm using the wrong side. And you know, we can end up on the wrong side of things too. Are you strong? Are you really, really strong? And strength is not something you think about. It is something you are. Strong in your heart, strong in your mind, strong in your spirit, strong in that in every sense of the word, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. There is your strength. So a house that is kept clean, the house that is made in order, is not a defense against the power of evil spirits. That is not the power. Being morally good, being decent is not enough. You need to be strong. And I think this is something that we need to think about very, very, very carefully. How strong are you? Okay? Now, let's go on further. We read verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word is wiles. He does not have only one method. If he cannot knock you down in one area, he will try another. He cannot deceive you in one area, he will attempt another, and you can be deceived. Wiles of the devil. And the word here, wiles, literally is the word method, the schemes. He has got many methods, not just one. Okay, and we are reminded we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against what? Take a look at the description. We are battling against rulers, against authorities, against world powers, against darkness, against spiritual forces of evil. The parable of the Lord Jesus Christ is only a parable. This is stating it in clear terms. It is solid work. We are, I just wish, you know, but a lot of us just don't think that this is real. It is more real than you think. You know, everybody is just worried, why is the world getting worse and worse and worse and worse every year? Now, everybody's worried. Have you thought about what the problem really is? What if the problem is, as Paul states it, and our battle is not against Trump, our battle is not against all the things that we see in the world, ISIS and all. What if there is something even worse than them? What if the problem is with powerful evil spirits, right here, described. What's the answer then? And if we see many of us, you know, we ask people, put on the spiritual armor. Do you know what the pieces of the armor are? Do you? And a lot of people don't even know the spiritual armor that God has provided. Here are soldiers going into spiritual battle and they are totally unarmed. How long do you think you will last in that conflict? You can't. You're not going to win. So we need to ask ourselves how we can deal with these things here. And so we are dealing against all kinds of powers. And so we are told, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand on that evil day, and having done everything to stand. How do we, the word come on, stand again and again, standing up against, it repeated so many times, to stand. It takes strength to stand. Now this is something that we need to consider very, very carefully. What are we to put on? Truth. That's the first thing. Do you love truth? Now, this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. Do we really love the Word of God? Do we love truth? Do we put it on? And if we don't, what do we have? What about righteousness? Verse 14. What about the shoes we put on? Right? What about the shield of faith that we must have? What about the helmet of salvation? What about the sword of the Spirit? Are you familiar with all these things? How much of it is a part of your life? Truth, the Word of God, righteousness, faith, sword of the Spirit. And sadly, you'll find that so many Christians are just tired ones. There is no life, there is no energy, there is little strength, there is little interest in things spiritual, and they are just like the world. And we are just like the world. The evil one has already defeated you, and you don't even know it. How do we battle against the evil one when we don't know our salvation well enough? When the problems come and our shield of faith is weak, and the Word of God is not there, and there is no power. You see how susceptible we are? This morning, I just want to help you to recognize where the dangers are. It is still about evil spirits, but it is not possession that we need to be worried about. It is the whole reality of this that we're talking about, that we must consider. And only when we consider these things effectively will we be able to understand what we are up against. The evil spirits war against our souls. You know, we take heed of so many things. We take heed of our health. We are concerned about influences. We're concerned about everything under the sun except the power of evil spirits. We are in mortal danger. This morning, I want to alert you to this and tell you, to ask you, wake up, be alive, be revived. Put on the armor of God, or you will fall. You will be defeated, and you will perish. Ponder this thought very carefully. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you will speak to our hearts this morning. We pray that you will teach us how to understand and appreciate these words of teaching the Lord Jesus Christ gave. Help us to be aware of the dangers that are there. We pray that you will encourage, you will strengthen us. Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us to come alive to you. We pray that you will grant to us your grace and your wisdom. Revive our hearts, we pray, and help us to come alive to your word this morning. Help us to deal with the problems that the evil ones have already caused in our life. And help us to resist him and to overcome him. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.